You're a good soul too, Helen. Next up, we're going to try something. It's a 35mm print, which comes to us, and I'm going to let Paula Ahmad introduce it and channel the voice of Colette for us. And my colleague, Joe Malutis, is going to provide a soundtrack for this otherwise silent film.
Thanks, Dan, and thanks for organising getting this print out. Yeah, as you mentioned, it comes from the Jean-Pierre Levet archives in France. You're going to see a print of Jean Commandant's La Croissance des Végétaux, The Growth of Plants, the film that I mentioned the other day. I just want to briefly take us into one aspect of the critical reception of this film. Colette, the author, wrote a review in the early 20s in which she's dealing with perhaps that point of reception that we've been touching on and moving around in a lot of our discussions on educational films, and that is the perspective of the child. So I just want to read out a little bit of that review in order to set up this screening for us. I also believe that it is a newly subtitled print of the film as well. So this is a review written by Colette in about 1920. She's sitting in a room with children watching a series of educational films. Last Thursday at the Musée Galliera, there were two moments when all the young hands clapped, when the mouths exhaled and then immediately cut short their ahs of respectful ecstasy. In the first one, a slow motion shot rose from the ground, immobilized itself in the air, then held on a seagull suspended on a breeze. The undulation and the flexing of the wings, the mechanism of guiding and direction in the tail, the whole secret of flight, the whole simple mystery of aviation, revealed in an instant, dazzled everyone's eyes. A bit later, a fast motion documented the germination of a bean, the birth of its tunnelling radicelles, the avid yawning of the cotyledons from which sprung up, throwing its serpent's head like a spear, the first sprout. At the revelation of the intentional and intelligent movement of the plant, I saw children get up, imitate the extraordinary ascent of a plant climbing in a spiral, avoiding an obstacle, groping over its trellis. "It's looking for something. It's looking," cried a little boy, profoundly affected. He dreamed of the plant that night, and so did I. These spectacles are never forgotten and give us the thirst for further knowledge. We want, for ourselves and our children, not an indigenous imagination, but the extravagance of reality, the unbridled fantasy of nature. We want the fairy tale of the germination of peas, the Arabian Nights tale of the metamorphoses of a dragonfly, and the explosion, the formidable distension of the budding lily, half opening in long flat mandibles over a dark agitation of stamens, a gluttonous and powerful labour of flowering, in front of which a little girl said, in a very low, somewhat frightened voice, "Oh, a crocodile." So it's on that note that I just want to quickly mention that the perspective of the childlike gaze upon the cinema becomes incredibly important for the avant-garde for obvious reasons, one being that it's via that model of childlike reception that the avant-garde begins to understand, you know, that the eye is only one of the senses being addressed by the cinema. And I know that that Joe Malutis is actually going to be taking us into a multi-sensorial experience tonight as well. So I'm going to hand it over to Joe, who's going to explain this accompaniment to us. Thanks.